Okay, let's see. When I say the word sin, what comes to mind? You can shout it out. You can be honest. There's no real wrong answer unless it is wrong, but then we'll just give you grace. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I say the word sin, what comes to mind? Lies, separation, death. Whoa, we went there. Slavery, that's a good one. Wow, I didn't actually think of that one. That's pretty sick. Pain, ooh, you guys are on it. Disobedience, shame, darkness, There's freedom until you try to stop. You're a philosopher or something. That's amazing. That blew my brain. It's too early. It's freedom until you try to, that's good, bro. Wow, like someone give him a high five. That's amazing. And all of these things are actually right. But if we want to umbrella them, so with the darkness or the shame or the you freedom until you're not free, or the actual meaning, if you look at the word, it's basically to miss the mark. And so if you think about it, if God has an expectation of how we are to live with him, and we don't meet that expectation, we're missing the mark. Does it make sense? And so in the Bible, you would have had archers shooting arrows, and you can either hit the target that you're aiming for or not. So sin would be I'm aiming at a target, and I'm shooting my arrow, and then I miss the target. That's basically what it means. David, when he goes against Goliath, he doesn't miss his mark. He hits Goliath, and he brings him down. That's the point. In today's day, we have guns. I like guns. So someone will probably be offended by this video I'm going to show you. The other day, Warren, who is not my brother, but looks like my brother, we go shooting together sometimes. And so I want to just show you something. And I train quite a lot to shoot because I like shooting, and I think it's a really good skill to have, especially living in South Africa. But as much as I practice, and I try practice daily at home, dry firing stuff, and then I try to go as much as it's possible financially to go shooting on the range. This video I'm going to show you is about 2 weeks ago we went shooting. And like 50% of the time I miss the target. It looks like I don't know how to shoot, but I do actually know how to shoot pistol. So can we play? Let's see. So hear the ding and don't hear the ding. You'll see, and we're shooting around corners and stuff. Miss, hit. Miss. See how many times I'm missing? Yeah. Miss. Oh, that was a hit. Look, I'm going to miss now. Miss. So almost 50%, and that's pretty much at the end of our session. So we were drawing, firing, moving, shooting, coming under stress. Like, we were hitting a lot of the target, a lot of the time. But there's always that one, maybe, oh, man, I missed it. And if you see the other videos, we're very frustrated with ourselves. You're like, wow, we're missing. And then it comes down to trigger control. It comes down to anticipating recoil. In other words, you're waiting for the gun to explode because it's a mini explosion in your hand. And because you're anticipating, you're pushing forward so the bullet goes down. And there's all these things. And so sin is that. It's we practice and we practice and we practice. And then we shoot and we miss. And we miss a target. I've got some bullets. Check out this bullet. So you got this guy where they shoot out of helicopters. For those who have been in the army back in the day. You know when they shoot out, the helicopter actually moves backwards. So much power. You're hitting, even a round this big can miss the target. Then you've got the biggest round I've ever shot.
It's in here somewhere. Is it in here somewhere? Where are you?
I'm bleeding bullets here. Hold on. All right. Check. This is a 50 cal round. Okay, so 50 caliber. Those guns were made to shoot through engine blocks of vehicles to stop them. That was the design. So this I paid back in the day, probably like 8 to 10 years ago, I paid like 150 Rand a round. Now it is 350 Rand a round. So I went to my birthday, had one shot with a gun that's 30 kgs, it's about this tall. It's amazing. The muzzle blast is so magnificent that we stood. We were a bit scared. So when you're shooting, it's fine because the muzzle blast. So we stood. And it hits you like a freight train. I'm not even lying. It shot a bottle 10 meters with water in it. We put water bottle, and it just shot it like into the oblivion. It's an amazing thing. It's like it was the funnest birthday I've ever had. It was. And then, like, what I was shooting there in the video, what I miss a lot is a 9mm. So you can see the... And it really doesn't matter how big the round can be. There's going to be times we miss the mark. Okay, so let's get into some scripture quickly. Romans 3:23. Why is this message relevant for you? And this is one of those messages that you shouldn't do this, or that person really needs to hear what Brett is saying. Like, we often do that. Like, when you hear a word like this, you know, like, oh, if only my wife, is she listening, or my husband, or my friend. But in actual fact, Romans 3 says this, for all have sinned. In other words, for all have missed the mark and fallen short of the glory of God's gracious standard. Well, I'm reading through the NLT. So think about that. Every single human being, including yourself, has fallen short of God's standards. The problem with Christianity is this, that the standards that God have for us are impossible to obtain by ourselves. We need God and the Holy Spirit every single day to help us not miss His glorious standard. And so I want to encourage you this morning that if you are sinning, and we'll see this later, if you're sinning deliberately, I think you're in a very dangerous place in your life. If you are sinning and missing the mark, but you're really trying to follow God, I think there's grace for you. And I want to make that very clear. It's like, I don't want people to leave this place going, oh, I'm feeling condemned, because the Bible says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And so the point of what God wants to do in us is not to condemn us, but to convict us, that if we are missing the mark in any area of our lives, that we bring it back into His standard. Does it make sense? Because the Bible is also very clear that our fight is not against flesh and blood. Has anyone heard that scripture? And what we do is we make it about flesh and blood. And so back in Genesis, in chapter 3, where Adam and Eve eat from the tree that they're forbidden to eat, what happens is they eat and then they hide themselves. And they try to cover their shame and their sin, and they're trying to do all these things. If you think about it, what is the first thing they do? God says to Adam, have you eaten from the tree? No, no, it wasn't me, it was my wife. The wife is like, whoa, it was the serpent. The serpent couldn't, like, he didn't speak to God, but he's like, and the thing with missing the mark is, as soon as we do it, we want to blame other things. We want to blame the devil. And I think we blame the devil for way too much. I don't think he's that powerful. Because if you read the book of Job, he can't really do anything except for God allowing him to do stuff. Sometimes we blame other people or circumstances or whatever the case may be. That's a very dangerous thing. And we're just falling back into the curse, where the blame game is this thing that we try to hide ourselves behind when we miss God's mark. And God actually doesn't care. And He doesn't want us to hide behind those things. And so when we do miss the mark, we've got to look at our own hearts first. And the thing is, we have a war inside of us. Every single one of us, whether you feel it or not, or believe it or not, it's there. And let me read what Paul says in Romans 7, verses 14 to 25. It's quite a lengthy passage, but I really want to bring this home well. It says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. So basically what was happening here is people were using the law and making it and demonizing it. And like, oh, the law is like this bad thing. The law of God is not a bad thing. The law of God is still actually very relevant to our lives today, if you think about it. It's like, don't murder. It's still here. Like, that's not a good thing. Thank you. You're vibing today. The law is good. The trouble is not the law, but within me, because I am sold into slavery with sin as my master. See, it's not the law that's the problem. It's the sin. We give ourselves to mastery. Sin masters us, and we become slaves to it. I do not understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, the very thing I hate, I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree with the law is good, but I can't help myself because it's sin inside of me that makes me do these evil things. I don't know if you've ever had, like, when you have a choice to make and you know what God wants you to do and you know what your flesh wants to do, and this is like, is it just me? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. And like, you guys are looting, you're a lunatic. But think about it. It's like, I know what I need to do is right. I know what God's standard is. I know, and I want to blame the law, and I want to blame the circumstance, and I want to blame myself, and I know. Like, that's what Paul's saying here. I can't help myself because it's a sin inside of me, and we can't use the sin inside of me as an excuse to sin. Are you going with me? You go, well, I'll do something. You know, it's like, because grace is, there's a scripture that says, the grace of God gives us the ability to say no to unrighteousness in this present age, to say yes to his ways. And so what Paul's going through, I think we all go through, we just want to put it back in our minds and we don't want to face it because it's too hard and, wow, I'm a bad Christian. No, that's condemnation. That's not what we're talking about here. Anyways, I know I'm rotten through and through as far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to do, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyways. But if I am doing what I do not want to do, yo, this is very, like, let's go for it. I am not really the one doing it, but the sin within me is doing it. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. And I think this is so relevant to the day and age we live in. But we don't have to use the sin inside of us, the missing the mark of God's standard, to do the sin that is in us. Because he who is in us is greater than he is that is in the Spirit of God that lives in us is able to help us to meet the standard every day. And the problem that I see in the church, and even on YouTube, I'm really worried about the preachers on YouTube. Because they're allowing people to live with the sinfulness. Don't worry, it'll be fine. Just the Lord, no, it's not fine. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're his sons and daughters. We're the ones that should be different when we go into the world. People should look at us and go, man, you're a bit of a weird guy, but there's something about you that's awesome. And that's not Brett, that's Jesus in Brett. Man, you acting like this when you should be acting like that. Wow, I want what you have. It's amazing, hey? It's like, are you guys, is it relevant? It's like, no one wants to talk about these things because it's quite awkward. Think about this. When we miss the mark and when we give excuses to it, we're actually earning what we deserve. So in other words, let me, Romans 4 verses 4 to 5. Listen to this. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something that they have earned. So when you work for a job, or if you're working, it's not a gift when you get your salary at the end of the month, right? It's, you've earned that thing. Jump to Romans 6:23. Listen to this. For the wages of sin is death. So people, even in the church, are working so hard, and their payment is sinfulness and missing the mark. Ooh. Interesting. I'm trying to smile to make it a little less punchy in the gut. But then he goes on, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so a lot of Christians are working so hard to earn sin when we should be working really hard to earn eternal life. Not because of what we've done, but because of our submission to Lord Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? And then you get all disgruntled and like, I'm doing all this thing, but I'm allowing sin to continue to control me. And then I'm upset with the leaders, and I'm upset with the church, and I'm upset with the worship set, and upset with whatever it is. And I'm like going, hold on, guys. Like, you're missing the mark here. God's desire for us is that we don't miss the mark. That we take responsibility. You know, like, I've been thinking about godly people and godly men specifically. A godly man is someone who makes a decision because people don't want to make decisions anymore and sticks with that decision, whether it's good or bad. Because faith is, we don't know sometimes where God is taking us, but we have to step out into something, right? And I think Christians don't want to make decisions because we're too scared to make the wrong decision, so we just don't make any decision. And then what happens is there's just sin that comes. And so a godly man is someone who makes a decision. And if it's a wrong decision, hey, own it up. Own up. I'm wrong. Let's do something different. Does it make sense? It's like a godly woman is someone who is convicted and makes decisions in their lives like and sticks with those decisions. And even Abby was chatting to me last night. We sat in bed before we went to bed. And she was like talking about salvation and how can God send evil people to hell forever? It's so unfair. And I said, well, I don't know if it's that fair because they're working really hard to not have a relationship with Jesus on earth. Why would they want to be in eternity with him forever and ever if they don't love him now? So it's actually not unfair. It's the wages of their sin, right? It's why would you want to be married to me if I didn't want to be married to you? And if I didn't love you, why would you want to stick around? It doesn't make any sense to me. And she was like, oh. Like, if you think of it from that perspective, and God is very clear. He doesn't desire anyone to be lost, anyone to go to hell. That's his heart. But if people choose, that's the wages of their choice. Thank you. It's like, I didn't have that in my notes, so that's good that you said it's good. That's amazing. We can't blame God. We can't blame others. We have to look at our hearts, and we have to look at our motives. And once we do that, if we start looking at our motives, then we can actually start hitting the standard and hitting the mark more and more as we practice. Mark Davies said to me once, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. And I thought, that's interesting. And so the more we practice sin, the more permanent it becomes in our hearts. The more we practice the Spirit, the more that becomes permanent in our hearts. And so, which do we choose to follow? Thank you. That was Mark Davies, so we can give him a hand. See, James 1:15 says this. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So the hope for us is here. If we allow sin to grow, that's not good. If we try to kill sin all the time, if we try to come back to the mark, that's a really good habit to have. It's the problem is if we let it grow and we let it grow and we let it grow. Because think about it, has anyone lied, made a little lie? You know what happens with little lies? You have to make a bigger lie to cover the little lie. And then you have to make a slightly bigger lie to cover the slightly bigger lie to cover the little lie. And before you know it, the whole thing is a lie. That's the way sin works. It's trying to cover all the time. But the freeing thing is this, that if we really take stock of our own hearts, and isn't this humility? Like, every day I'm trying to do this when I wake up. Father, without you, I suck as a person. Without your wisdom, I'm going to make terrible decisions today. Without your love, I'm not going to be able to love others. Honestly, I do this. Like, help me today not suck. Help me to live through you. You know what that's called? Humility. And it's very sucky to do every day. But it's so freeing at the same time. It's this weird thing that God does, you know. Can I also just say this? Romans 2, verses 16. And this is, I'm seeing more and more the problem. It says this, this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Jesus Christ, will judge, listen to this, everyone's secret life. I'm seeing this more and more as I'm pastoring people. They have these little secret lives that they're not opening up to everybody else. You're not getting away with it. Get that into your minds and to your hearts. Like, you could be doing stuff that I don't know, your wife doesn't know, no one knows. Sinful things, possibly. Things that are not glorifying to God. You think you're getting away with them right now. You're not. Because he sees everything. He knows everything. So just because you're getting away with it and it's not really affecting you now, there will be a moment when we stand before him and he'll be like, hey, Brett, you thought you got away with that. I see everything. Boom. And no one's talking about that in the church. Another thing that we're not doing when it comes to sin is we're not calling sin, sin. Oh, I slept with another woman. No, you're an adulterer now. You're a fornicator. No one's saying that because it's politically incorrect to say things like that now. But what we're doing is we're covering sin. We're making it less sinful. No, we're just getting away with it. No, that's not God's standard. God's standard is we're above and beyond the world's desires and standards. A little white lie. No, you flipping lied. I just took a pencil. No, you stole. you get the... You guys are right. Sorry, I know it's a heavy one. Ants did ask me to preach on this, so it's like, blame him. You know, I'm just kidding. I'm dead. No, blame him. No. But so when we break it down, we take the what God is calling us to aim at, and we make it lesser, we're actually going, God, you're not the God that we say you are. My wife loves me because my standards are very high compared, towards her. I'm not looking at other ladies. I'm not entertaining other little thingamajiggies that are going on. I'm trying to make her my number one. That's my standard. Becoming the best that I can be in Christ for her, for my family. I'm not making excuses to look at things and to do things and to... I'm fighting very hard for that every day. Does it make sense? It's like... So if you are hidden and you're doing, please take it to the Lord and be wise if you want to bring it into the light. Because there are those scriptures that says true fellowship is walking in the light one to another. But we have to do that very carefully, because my whole congregation blew up this week because someone shared something in a community group that was great because God was doing stuff. But then it just filtered through the whole congregation. Now there's a fence and people are leaving and it's just chaos and mayhem. And I've got an emergency meeting this afternoon before service to try. Because this whole week's theme was unity and forgiveness. And we're going to be breaking bread together and everything just blows up, which is awesome. Because that's how God works it out. But then there's also we've lost something of God's heart in the midst of all this chaos and mayhem and people getting hurt and stuff like that, because people weren't very wise in how they shared in calm. And so if you do want to share, make sure that you're reputable people in the right setting that brings glory to God. Does it make sense? I'm just trying to be wise here. I should maybe... And soon, it's only 20 minutes. We're doing all right. We're doing all right. I'm going to start ending now. So, I did mention this earlier, but I want to just read a scripture just to help you quickly with the difference between spontaneous sin and spectacular sin. So, 1 John 2, verses 1 to 2. My dear children, I'm writing you this so that you will not sin. So, chapter 1 is all about how they've seen Christ and they've walked with him and they've gleaned from him. It's beautiful. It's like, but then in chapter 2 he says, my dear, I'm writing these things of the gloriousness of Christ so that you will not sin, that you will not miss the mark. But if you do sin, if you do miss the mark, there is someone to plead for you before the Father, and he is Jesus Christ, the one who pleases God completely. He is the sacrifice for our sins. He takes away not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And so what you need to understand here is this. An advocate is someone that stands in court, and that's another word that they use here for Jesus, to defend the innocent. Not the guilty, the innocent. And so spectacular sin is you know you're sinning and you continue to do it over and over and over and over and over and again. And then Jesus, I don't think, wants to be your advocate because he's died for that. You don't have to do that. He doesn't want you to do that. Okay, that's the one extreme. The other extreme is you're really trying your hardest to love him, to worship him, to live for him, to be submitted to him, and you stumble. You mess up. That's spontaneous. It's not deliberate. It's not calculated. It's not premeditated. I think Jesus, this scripture is then for you. He will stand before the Father. Yo, that's amazing. And he will plead your case for you. See the difference? And I think a lot of Christians have just got comfortable in just spectacularly sinning over and over and missing the mark over and over and over. That's a very dangerous place to be. I want us to be, and God wants us to be, Christians that are spontaneously sinning every now and again. Oh, almost died. That almost died. Think about this, about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This scripture just never gets old for me. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. Get this, guys. Like, the one person who never missed the mark once was Jesus. But God, in his awesome splendor and wonder and graciousness and kindness. Took the one person who didn't sin and he made him an offering for our sin. Oh, so that we could become right with God through Christ. So in other words, Christ became the worst of Brett when he hung on the cross. Think about this. The worst of my thoughts, desires, speech, heart motives. He just became the worst human being that Brett could ever become. Without sinning. He never sinned, but he took my sin and he put it on himself. And then he did that with every single person in this room and every single person that has ever lived on the planet, ever, that has lived and will live. And he took that on himself as an offering. So that we didn't miss the mark. Sheesh. Wow. It's like, and he on the cross, he died and he rose again and he's in heaven right now going, Brett, I'm praying for you. That's what he's interceding for every single one of us. Put your name in there. Every single day. Like, if I was Jesus, I would have stopped at resurrection. Think about it. He went to hell for 3 days. He killed death. He killed sin. He killed missing the mark. He came back with the keys of Hades, destroyed him. Then he rose. It was amazing. And then he went to heaven. I was like, hey, I'm done here. No, he keeps on going. He's praying for eternity so that we don't miss the mark. How cool is our God that we serve? Like, wow, that makes me not want to miss the mark. And the gospel, the longer we live with Christ, the less the gospel impacts our lives, I think, because we become familiar and we think we know him. We'll never know him. I've been walking with him for 40 years. I've got a degree in theology with honors into masters. And I still, every day I read the Bible and I'm like, I've never seen that about you, God. That is how big he is. I've already done the Bible almost twice this year already. Like when we were chatting about Bible yesterday with Warren. I'm about to finish in the next week. And then I'm trying to do the Bible from cover to cover 3 times this year. I've done it almost twice already. And every time I go, I'm like, oh God, that is blowing my mind. Yesterday I'm walking with Junior because he was a little bit freaked out to do the finance teaching. And so we walked on the hill, Tiger Big Hill, and we were just talking about stuff. And something came to mind. You know when Jesus makes the whip, and he turns the tables and he whips the people. Has everyone heard that story? Do you know that's not about turning the tables or making the whip? That story is not about any of that. But we focus, this is how we miss the mark so easy. We focus on how could Jesus make a whip and then whip people and turn the tables and like, what kind of a God is loving? Why is it a loving God? We've totally missed the whole story. And you're going, what do you mean? This is what I mean. So the Holy of Holies was a place in the temple where only the high priest could go and meet with God's presence fully. The inner chamber was where the Jewish people would go to worship God. The outer courts where the tables were where the Gentiles and everyone else that weren't Jewish would come and worship God. So the point of the story is it's not about the tables, it's not about the money, it's not about the whip. It's about the fact that the Jews, because they were jealous, were stopping people from worshiping God in the temple. What? So God was angry. Jesus was angry not because of the money. He was angry because people were going to a lost eternity and they were being stopped from getting the mark by his own people who knew his love and his grace and his mercy. That's wild. So easy to miss the mark. To think about it. So I'm going to start ending here because that's almost 30 minutes and I'm going to end with the scripture, but I also want to end with, I've got a bunch of 9 more rounds here. You're welcome to take one if you want. Can you just pass this around quickly? I should have brought more things, like just send the boxes. It'd be awesome. If you want one, you don't have to take one. I won't be offended if you don't take one. I should have actually started earlier with the box thing. Missed timing. Nice. That is so clever. Well done. Just give a whole bunch to the end. Big brain, big brain. I like it. I'm going to take some water while we wait, because we can wait. Has anyone done a count here of how many people are here in the room? 111. I hope I have enough rounds. I think I did. I just chucked a whole bunch in. Okay, so everyone got it. So, okay, we're almost there. We're almost there. I can be patient. Who doesn't have? There's one. This one on this side. Yep, she's got one. Awesome. Lovely. Thank you. That's amazing. So I want to take away, just as, because people remember better when people take things away. So if you look at this thing, you might think, oh, super cheap, right? You know that this costs R2.50 per every one of these. So I've just given R277.50 away. So that's why we picked them up. We should, and every one of these I've shot myself, basically, and then picked up to reload, because it's just cheaper that way. Huh. It's quite hectic, eh? So this little thing, because you've got to deprime, and you've got to put a new prime in, you've got to put gunpowder in, you've got to put a new lead on, and it's just it's exciting. Sometimes a guy night is very fun when we're making explosions. But say this is symbolic of an area of your life that you're missing the mark. I want you to take this home with you if you want. You don't have to do this. I can't make you do it. But as a reminder of, God, I need to give those things to you every day. I don't want to miss the mark. I want to live a glorifying and honoring life to you. And as you think about it, and as, because everyone is in a different place with their lives. Some are closer than, some are further, some whatever, and everything in between. I want to read a psalm with us. And it's a psalm that David wrote after he missed the mark. He's the king of Israel and Judah, and he's supposed to be out where the kings are fighting a fight, and he's not. He's on his roof, and he's lounging, and a young, beautiful lady catches his eye and causes him to become an adulterer and a fornicator and actually a murderer. And he, like, God hammers Israel, like, for his mistake. And I just love his heart, like, when he's realized he's missed the mark, and he's like, oh, man, because remember, Nathan came to him, and he was like, that guy must die. Remember, he uses the whole thing about the sheep, and he's like, that, and he's like, no, it's you. And in that moment, it's like, oh, I've missed the mark. This is the heart that we should have going out of this place tonight. He says in verse 1, and maybe if you want to close your eyes, if that helps you concentrate more, whatever, you're welcome to. Just try as you hold on to this stompy. He says this, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. And so if whatever, like wherever you are, just let this be a prayer for you as well. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will prove right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. I was born a sinner, yes. From the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels and I will return to you. Forgive me of the shedding of blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth will praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you do desire is a broken spirit. You will reject the broken and repentant heart. Sorry, you will not reject the broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with the sacrifice offering in the right spirit, with burnt offerings, the whole burnt offering. Then bulls will again be a sacrifice on your altar. Father, as we sit here in your presence, every one of us has missed the mark somewhere in our lives. But Lord, this morning, I believe that you are just causing this gap in our schedule, this moment in our lives, just to reflect on your awesomeness. And Lord, we want to be like David, like we want to take time to contemplate our hearts before you. We want to ask God, like, if there's any area in our lives that we are missing the mark on, please, Lord, right now, Lord, may you just come and highlight those areas or that area, not to be condemned, but to be convicted that you are able to take us through that. Lord, we want our lives to count. We want to experience you in new ways. We want your spirit to lead us and guide us, Lord. Not to be masters of sin, but to be slaves to Christ's righteousness. And Lord, I'm so aware that I can't change hearts. Doing stuff can't change hearts. Only by your spirit can our hearts be changed. So Lord, we want to ask right now that your spirit will just come and move in this place. That you will create in us a new heart, O God, in this moment. That we'll stop blaming things and the devil and circumstances and even other people. But Lord, that we'll look to our own hearts and become free. And as we're doing this, I'm trusting that you're connecting with the Lord for yourself. There's that scripture that just come to mind. It's where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. And so as God highlights through His Spirit, just where you are, where you might be missing the mark, could I ask that you just give that over to Him? And so sometimes the way we can do that is just, Jesus, I'm realizing in my life right now, this is the place where I'm missing the mark. This is maybe the attitude that I have, or this is the fruit of my life right now. I want to give that over to you. Please renew that in me. It may be unforgiveness, which is a big one. Maybe pride. And the thing with pride is as soon as you say that, no, I'm not proud. No, that's pride. It may be a low self-confidence, because remember, we've been bought at a price. We're not our own. We're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Maybe unfaithfulness. Bible even speaks about if we know what is right and don't do it, we miss the mark. But God is calling you to do what is right. And you know you should be doing it, but you've chosen not to. Give that over to the Lord. And as you do that, just someone in the prayer meeting said, and I just love the scripture, that God's kindness leads us to repentance. Just feel his kindness over you right now as you just give these things back to him. He desires for you to not miss the mark. So Holy Spirit, right now, just will you just work and do your thing, God. Like, smile upon those that are really just calling out to you to now. Love you, Lord. Love what you're doing. Love the fact that we can speak about these things that are hard to maybe look at and hard to bring back into our own lives. But Lord, you are so gracious that we can. Love you, Lord. Love what you're doing. Amazing King. Another thing that the Lord's laying in my heart is back-footedness. Just chatting to Abby in the last night as well. It's like the thing with the talents. Like, so many people have been given something of the Lord, but they're too scared to use it, and then they just bury it. And I think that is missing the mark, because God has given you that talent so that you can multiply it for his kingdom and for his glory. And so maybe that's even you, like you reluctant. Even with Junior yesterday, I said, my job, Junior, I love you, but my job is to push you a little bit further than when you think you can go right now as your leader. And as your friend. And you did so well this morning. Oh man, I thought there were angels, but I hear the music. That sometimes happens in my congregation. It's the pianist. She comes and she... I don't know about you, but I can feel the Spirit of God here now. Like, I can really just feel his presence, his peace. Can I ask this? Has God revealed anything in any one of our lives? Like, hey, I've missed the mark and I want to come back to that. Can you just show if God is moving? Wonderful. Wonderful. That's amazing. Wonderful. Amazing. Glorious. Where that leads us two ways, and we'll end with this if you don't mind.
Oh, we still got time. Still got time.
I think commitment is not a bad thing. And recommitting is not a bad thing. And first-time commitment is not a bad thing. It's actually an amazing thing. It's like, we almost married 20 years, and I was thinking the other day, maybe we should redo our vows. Because it's been 20 years of awesomeness, and ups and downs, and good times and bad times. And sometimes, like, I was thinking, maybe I should take Abby away and bring some friends and just renew our vows, just as a recommitment to her, like another 20 years, please, Lord. Because it's just, she's my person. She's my wife. I love her. Like, she's, no one else has loved me like she has, except for the Lord, obviously. But, and I think that this is that moment. And so, if you want to recommit your life to him again, in the light of a cloud of witnesses, could you stand with me? Because I am. I'm going to do it, and I want to do it, but I want to give opportunities for others to do it as well, if you want. It's like, hey, I want to recommit this morning. I don't want to leave this place and then fall back into the thing. I want to stand and I want to show people that I'm recommitting. Not so that people can see, but so that the Lord can see. I'm willing. Amazing. 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 Thank you, Lord. Don't do it if you don't want to do it. Like, it's not, there's no forcing anyone to do anything. It's just, faith is always I want to take a step. I want to do something to follow the Lord. Then maybe you hear, because I don't know everybody, that you've never got to that place in your life where you've actually committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you might have heard of him, you might be reading the Bible, you might be coming to church, you might be thinking, but you've never said, Jesus, I want you to save me of my sin. I don't want to miss the mark. I want you to save me because I believe that you died for me. Like, I believe that your resurrection was for me, but I've never said, believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth that you are my Savior, you are my King, you are my God. Like, you've never got to that place where you've bowed your knee before him and said, I want to give you my life, Jesus, because you gave your life for me. If there's anyone like that here, I love what Jesus said when he walked. He said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that I am Lord, salvation comes to you. to Scripture. And so that's a decision. Like, I choose to follow Him. I choose to walk from darkness into light. I choose from being deaf to being hearing, to not being able to see and then to see. It is something supernatural that no man can do. It's actually, right now, you might be going, it might be you, and you might even be blind still. And we want to ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and open your mind to His spiritual ways right now in the name of Jesus. And so if there's anyone like that that's never done that before, could I ask you to respond too? Because there's other believers standing, they're committing their lives again to the Lord. But maybe this is for you, like first time. That's amazing. I did it in 1985, a long time ago. Still living for the Lord strong. So I don't know if there's anyone like that here. Like, Brad, I want to do it for the first time, very first time. Coming into life. Cool. Never want to miss that opportunity. So, Lord, for us that are stood, maybe we could do like a, I'm just thinking on the spot here, maybe we can do like a combined declaration of our love for Him. Can we do that? Like, so maybe I'll pray after me, and if you want to, you don't have to. If you've got your own words, that's cool as well. So, Father God, thank You for Your word that is living and active. Thank You for Your Son who died for me. And I realize again that I want to just commit my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength to You. I want to love You with everything that I have. So I want to commit to You again this morning to not miss the mark. Help me by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we love You. Oh, we love You. Thank You. What an amazing morning. What an amazing time with You, God. And Lord, we're expecting freedom, and we're expecting joy to come out of this place. Lord, we're expecting blessing. We're expecting less of us and more of You. We love You.